Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your kindness, your love, your mercy, and your grace, which is so new to us every day. And we praise you that you love us so much that you pick us up out of the depths of our sin, out of the depths of our despair, out of the depths of this world, and you lift our spirits up to see your cross and to rejoice in the empty tomb that lies before us. Father, this day we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our hearts and minds to hear your words, to rejoice in your forgiveness and salvation, and to share your gospel message clearly with those we meet in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the reality is, in this world today, we may be many things. Martin Luther kind of talks about this when he talks about what he calls the doctrine of vocation. The reality is we have many vocations in this world, but the reality is we're many things. We may be a father, a mother, a brother, or a sister. In our families, we represent our family morals and traditions. I remember as a little boy, mom saying something to the effect, or dad saying something to the effect, now when we go in here, remember, you're my child, people are going to look at you. And so I made sure they knew that they were my parents every time. Yes, I did. That was my job. And so, you know, that kind of thing happens in our families. In the military, if you think about it, you bear the marks of the branch you serve, and especially the code of conduct for your branch of the military. Police officers, teachers, doctors, even pastors all have a code of conduct and living that they must uphold. And this is true. No matter what we do in our lives, whether it be from the parental role or to our job, there is something we do, something we represent, a code to live by, a way of living, a life we're called to live in that position, in that world that we are placed into at any given time. In our lesson for today, there are two important passages for us to hear. The first is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. This is what it says. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. And from John chapter 15, verse 8 in our gospel lesson, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Showing yourself to be my disciples. Above every other calling in the world, above every other calling that we have in our life, above every other vocation that God has given to you and me, there is one that is more important than all the rest, one above all of it, and that is the fact that we are called to be the presence of Jesus in our world. We are called to be like Jesus. We are called to be like him in what we do, what we say, and what we think. We're called to be like him in how we act and how we treat others. We are called to be like Jesus and be above our wants, our desires, our ambitions, our pride, our arrogance, our judgments, and our grudges. We are called to be like Jesus and act like Jesus in our world. We are called to be his disciples amongst each other in our congregations and in the world outside of our church. That is a high calling that's been placed on our life. And sometimes I think the reality is the church lessens that calling. When we hear John say that if you don't love your brother or your sister, you don't love God, well, sometimes we gloss over that because we don't want to be based in the law. And that's a harsh statement after all, right? I mean, it's a harsh statement. It's really not comfortable to think about. We don't like to think about the fact that in this world we're supposed to be just like Jesus. We don't like to think about the fact that that means I have to give up my wants, my desires, my selfishness, my pride, my arrogance for the good of somebody else or for the good of the whole. We don't like to think about those things because they're not comfortable. Because in our sinfulness, we rather gravitate to our egocentricity. We rather gravitate to what we want, our desires, our ambitions, the way we want to act, the way how we want to hold grudges, the way we don't want to dole out forgiveness. Because that's what happens in a sinful, fallen world. We forget about baptism like Philip and the Ethiopian, the baptism that made us like Jesus, the baptism that gives us faith, the baptism that placed Christ in our lives. It just goes away. But in this world, we are like Jesus. So let me ask you a question, and you have permission to answer. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Just like a children's message, you can answer. No wrong answer. Teacher, Savior. What else? Who is Jesus to you? Your first love. Ah, book of Revelation, the letter to Ephesus. Very good. What else? Yes. Savior who came down on the cross to die for you? Who else is Jesus to you? Anybody else? Who is Jesus to you?
Father.
Father? What else? Any other thoughts? Friend. I was hoping somebody would say that. That's a good old hymn, isn't it? What a friend we have in Jesus. I should have put that in the message. We'll just change the service. We'll sing that right now. No, I'm just kidding. And Julie just looked up like, what? Any other thoughts about who is Jesus to you? The reality is Jesus to us, because he is our living and risen Savior, Jesus is our salvation. Jesus sets us free from our sinful desires. Jesus sets us free from our past and our hurts and our fears, as St. John talks about today. In fact, if the love of Jesus exists in us, we don't have to be afraid of anything. It's all gone. Fear is destroyed. Fear for it comes from Satan. It's gone. That's a hard one to lean on, but it's true. Fear is gone. Jesus to us is our Savior, our risen and living Lord, who has conquered over sin, death, and the devil. And tomorrow, as we celebrate one of our dear members' funerals, one of the great things we're going to focus on is that the grave no longer holds us, but the grave is our entry to victory and eternal life in heaven because of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our friend. He walks by our side. He promises that no matter what we go through in this world, he will be with us. The story of footprints, that's a beautiful story, isn't it? I tell you what, I've looked back in my whole life and all I've seen is one set of footprints. My feet have never hit the ground. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus who does that, right? He is our rock, our fortress, and our shelter. He is the rock of our faith. He is our fortress, our protection. He is our shelter where we can go to in times of struggle. He's the one who gets up as we're going through the boat of life and the storms and the waves rage against us. And he raises his hand and he talks to the storm and the winds and he says, calm, be still. I give you peace. That's who Jesus is to us. He's the one that never forsakes us. He's the one that never leaves us. Even though this world is filled with mean people who will hurt us and mean people who will forsake us, and that's the reality, we've all experienced it, right? And sometimes it's the people closest to us. Jesus will never do that, because with his risen promise, he guarantees that nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what St. Paul writes, and he writes that as a promise that comes to God that you can mark as sealed because of the empty tomb. You can live every day in the knowledge of the love and the grace and the mercy and the victory of Jesus, which is for you. The victory over sin, death, and the devil. The victory over your past. The victory over your depression, your addictions, your fears, your PTSD, your hurts, whatever it is. Victory in knowing that because Jesus lives, he lives for you, and you will live for eternity. That's who Jesus is to each and every one of us. John, in our lesson for today, calls us to be branches of the living vine, which is Jesus. He calls us to be living branches of the living vine, which is Jesus. I lived in Western New York for a long time, and believe it or not, Western New York is one of the largest wine producers in the country. And it's a very beautiful area to go to if you've ever heard of the Finger Lakes of Western New York. And there's all kinds of wineries there. And I had members of my church who grew grapes, and they sold grapes to Welch's and all of those companies, you know. And one of the things I really learned about is the fact how a vine stays healthy from the main branch. And that's true, because that vine receives its sustenance, its life, its nutrition from staying with the branch, right? And that's where its whole life comes from. And the healthier the branch, the healthier the vine, the healthier the branch. The healthier the vine, the bigger the grapes. The healthier the vine, the better the wine. Oh, that rhymed. I'm a poet and didn't know it. But it's true. That's what is true. They know this in the vineyards. Well, we know this too, and this is what Jesus is talking about. When we abide in Jesus, when we live in him, when we seek and place our lives in surrender to him, no matter what's going on in the rest of our lives, when we surrender to him, our branch stays healthy. We begin to produce good fruits, not to earn our salvation, but because we already have salvation. It's like Christmas morning when you were a child. You couldn't wait to show your grandparents when they came over for Christmas dinner what mom and dad got you for Christmas. Oh, I'm sorry. What Santa got you for Christmas that year. Right? You couldn't wait. We are like Jesus in this world. And Jesus calls us to be healthy branches which will produce fruit. But John gives us a stern warning. And this is a stern warning we need to hear. I don't like preaching stern warnings. It's not fun, but it is a warning. The Father, who is the gardener, will cut out unhealthy branches. But wait a minute. We aren't saved by good works, are we? So what's he talking about? What does that mean? If good works save us, then there's no use of even being here in church because I could just go do good out in the world and go to heaven. But that's not how it works. So what is Jesus talking about? The reality is, if our faith isn't producing good works, if our faith isn't testifying to Christ, if we're not loving our brothers and sisters, but loving ourselves more than them, if we're seeking intentionally to hurt other people around us, if we're holding grudges, if we're holding jealousy and envy and pride and all of these issues, all of these sins in our lives, guess what happens? Our lives don't produce good fruit. Now, we've talked about the theology of the cross before, so we're going to use it again real quickly because we can't think about it enough. When we look at the cross, there's a vertical relationship there, right? That vertical relationship of that cross represents God's relationship to us, right? And in that relationship, we are a vessel at the bottom of the cross, and God every day, no matter how bad we've been, no matter our sins, no matter what, continues constantly, because he's already saved the world, John 3:16, to pour into our lives his grace, his love, his forgiveness, his blessing, right? It never stops flowing into our lives. And our vessel, after a while, our vessel fills up, and what happens to that grace and love and forgiveness and life? It overflows back to God and also to each other in the horizontal realm of the cross. That's our relationship with each other. So the reality is, if we're not producing good fruits, you and I have put a block from God's grace in our life. We've said this before. Some of you have been through heart experiences. You know a healthy heart, right? If a heart gets a blockage, your heart isn't healthy anymore. They have to go in and clean out the blockage, or else a part of the heart will die. If you and I aren't producing good works, if we're not living a life that glorifies Jesus, if we're not truly seeking to put ourselves second and others first, that is not a life that glorifies Jesus. And what happens is we put a blockage in place, and God's grace begins to start trickling into our lives. Now notice, God is still pouring out fully his grace into our lives. We have blocked it. We have pulled away from it. We have turned our backs on it. God does not turn his back on us. God does not just cut us off and throw us away. No, when we see it fail to live the life that God has called us to live, we are the ones who pull away from the vine. We are the ones who cause the branch to die. It's our choosing, not God's. God is faithful. He cannot turn his back on himself. Since we are his children, and since Jesus lives in us, which we talked about last week, God would never turn his backs on us. We turn our backs on God. Branches that do not produce good fruits are unhealthy and are dying. We do it to ourselves. We pull away from God. We allow shame and judgment, bitterness, grudges, pornography, addiction, anger, greed, bitterness, envy, ego, pride, hatred, and resentment. And the list goes on and on and on to build up in these sinful human hearts to the point where we lose sight of receiving God's grace. Notice he doesn't stop pouring it out. We lose it because we have allowed Satan and the sin of this world to pull us away from God. God never gives up on us, but in our sinfulness, we give up on him in our stubbornness and in our pride. And I will be very honest with you. One of the worst places I have ever seen this happen in 16 years of ministry is the church. Churches can be filled with some of the meanest people who hold grudges, who fail to forgive, and who live lives that are so focused on themselves that they fail to produce good fruit for each other. And I am chief of being guilty of that. We all are, because we fall short of God's glory. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who rescues us from our sin. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who does not give up on us. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who uses word and sacrament to come into our lives, to feed us, to nourish us, to strengthen us, to sanctify us, to heal us, to mend us, to fix our brokenness, to fill our hearts with love, to send us out into the world rejoicing in the forgiveness that he's given us and pointing us back into a life of loving each other and restoring relationships, because that's the kind of God we have. He does not give up on us. St. Paul says, who will rescue us from this body of death? It's Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we never have to worry about being pulled away from the vine. We never have to worry about losing our faith. We never have to worry about producing good fruits as long as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. As long as we keep returning to God in repentance and in joy and rejoicing, as long as we keep receiving God's word and receiving his sacrament, where he pours into our lives his grace. His grace is unending. It never stops flowing into our lives. His grace is for you and for me, no matter our past, no matter our present, no matter our future, no matter our sins, no matter how bad we've been, no matter how evil we've been. His grace is for you and for me. And when we look to the risen Jesus, we know without any doubt that our sins are forgiven, that our relationship with God is one of perfection. And because of that, we can live in this world with the confidence and knowing, even though we are yet sinners, we are redeemed and saved, and we are saints at the same time. If you're worried that your life is not producing fruits, if you're worried that you're losing your faith, I had a professor who said this: you're not losing your faith, and you are producing fruits. Because when you think about such things, it means your hearts and lives are focused on Jesus, the risen Lord, who lives in you, who loves you, who forgives you, who restores you. Because this is the truth of the open tomb of Jesus. Grace upon grace is continually, nonstop, poured out in abundance into our lives every moment of every day. Thanks be to God for his salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.